Moses saw the face of Yahweh and was changed forever. The psalmist refers to gazing upon God in God's holy place. And psychologists call this imprinting. Did you hear about the young woman named Sherry describing her first real, honest-to-God date? She had just started college and met a cute boy in class who'd asked her out for Friday night. With the help of her friends, who took all day helping her get ready, her hair, her makeup, finding the perfect outfit, the right shoes, she was pretty excited about the date. And as she got ready, she and her friends chatted about what an amazing guy he was and how they had so much in common. Did I mention she was excited? She was also amazing. Her parents had raised her to believe that the eyes of the soul and heart see a beauty that is more than surface deep. They taught her to be proud of the hard work that had helped her achieve her goals and accomplishments, winning sports scholarships and grants. Strong and agile and skilled, she was the first in her family to go to college. Smart, kind, strong, and beautiful, she was a boss. Our young woman sees her date waiting for her at the corner, and as she walks up to him, they share an embrace and kiss that makes the hair on her arms stand on end. Then he leans back and whispers, "You're fatter than I thought." Human beings can be loving or devoted, or cruel or selfish. Over the millennia of human development, we've evolved to survive, and one of the most important tools in our evolution has been the power to communicate. Sometimes it's obvious there's food over that ridge, or this is my mate, not your mate. Other times it's far more subtle, like imprinting. This kind of learning begins early when we're infants. Like little sponges, human beings take in our surroundings, and the messages we receive help shape the adults we will become. A good example of imprinting is the story of the flock of Canadian geese that imprinted on Bill Lishman and his daughter Amy in the movie Fly Away Home. Anybody remember the movie Fly Away Home? In it, Bill and Amy use an ultralight aircraft and the natural imprinting of the baby geese on their mother migrating to teach his daughter's flock of geese to fly and then to migrate to a sanctuary in North Carolina. I remember another day when I was at a grocery store shopping, and there was a little girl riding in the little seat in the front of the cart. She was probably about 18 months old, and her mom was talking on the phone as she walked through the store shopping. The little girl was looking up at her mom with her big eyes full of adoration and love, taking in every single thing her mom was doing and saying. You know that look I mean? All I could think of was how beautiful this little girl was and how lucky the mother was to have such belovedness sitting right there in her cart. Anyway, as I walked past, I caught a few snippets of mom's conversation. Angry, cruel, peppered with F-bombs and invectives. And there sat the little girl, taking it all in. And in case you're wondering, imprinting doesn't stop just because we graduate from grade school or we grow up. Throughout life, we're imprinted from others and to others. We have the power to influence each other, whether for good or evil, love or hate, peace or war. One of my favorite movies is Guardians of the Galaxy. Has anybody seen Guardians of the Galaxy? Love this movie. It's a group of misfits, each of whom possesses a quirky personality and a unique gift, and each of whom imprints upon the other. As the movie begins, we learn what type of message was imprinted upon each guardian's tragic early life. From the murder of his family and the sorrow he carries, Drax seeks vengeance. Gamora, the last of the Zen-Huberi race, is adopted and raised as an assassin. Groot, a tree-like creature, and his buddy Rocket Raccoon are captured by a militaristic race called the Kree and they're put in prison for criminal behavior. As a child, Star-Lord is abducted by a group of alien thieves and smugglers called the Ravagers. Each Guardian imprinted behaviors that created lives of isolation, selfishness, and vengeance. Each Guardian was flawed and disabled emotionally. It would be hard to imagine an unlikelier bunch ever becoming Guardians of anything, let alone of the universe. And yet, in adversity and laughter, this group of misfits will come to spend time with one another. And along the way, they imprint other behaviors that will bring out the hero in each one. Drax becomes the epitome of "don't judge a book by its cover." Underneath all his scars is a sweet and sensitive soul who is good-hearted and protective. Gamora seeks redemption for her past crimes and lives into a life of righteousness, even unto death. Groot will save the Guardians' lives by growing a protective circle of branches around them as their spaceship crashes, saving their lives and seemingly losing his own. Rocket Raccoon comes to understand the importance of love and family and tears. Star-Lord will come to be the heart that brings them all together, protecting the galaxy as a team. After the movie's release in 2013, in the theater audience sits a little boy and his older sister. During the movie, the little boy noticed he shared a similar quality with one of the superheroes named Drax. His sister writes, "I took my little brother, who falls on the autism spectrum, to see Guardians of the Galaxy, and after the scene that showed Drax unable to comprehend metaphors, because he takes everything way literally, my little brother lit up like a Christmas tree and screamed, 'He's like me, he can't do metaphors.' For the rest of the film, my brother stared at Drax in a state of rapture." So while I adored Guardians of the Galaxy as a great, fun-loving film with cool characters, she writes, "I can do nothing but thank Marvel Studios and Dave Bautista for finally bringing a superhero to the screen that saved my little brother can relate to." So we may not come together in worship to watch and be imprinted by a cast of superheroes, but we do come to worship our Lord Jesus, Son of Man, Son of God, the master of our universe as followers of the way of Christ. So if imprinting occurs all the time, what would happen if Jesus and all he came to save and redeem came to imprint himself upon and through us onto one another? What behaviors might be imprinted with us if we looked upon the face of Lord Jesus with our big eyes, full of adoration and love, taking in every single thing Jesus was doing and saying? We'd see and become love. We'd see and share joy. We'd see and bring peace. We'd see and learn patience. We'd see and speak kindness. We'd see and be faithful. We'd see and become gentleness. We'd see and offer forgiveness. We'd see and walk humbly. We'd see and have courage. We'd see and love honestly. We'd see and offer gratitude. We'd see and live generously. So we may not be called together in community by someone named Star-Lord, but we all are called together in community by an even greater Lord, who calls each one of us beloved and guardians of the galaxy.